Okay, Shalom Aleichem to everybody. We're going to commence with the Shiur number 16. After certain what has been termed technical difficulties, we won't leave the term undefined at this point in time. But in any case, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, we are continuing with the Shiurim on the going. And first of all, I would like to thank very much Rabbi David Sedley, who is going to be engineering this program as well as his technical input. His intellectual input is also going to be very, very important too in the Shiur. Okay, now, we're going to begin with Klal Ches in the Gra, which is on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, beginning with line 233. And I want to make an introductory statement that this Shiur, which is Shiur 16, is the central Shiur of this series of Shiurim, meaning that without understanding more or less the content of this Shiur, it will be impossible for you, my dear student, to proceed for the next seven Shiurim. And also, too, you will not have the proper perspective in all the 15 Shiurim which have been, which we presented to you up till now. So it's very, very important that you pay very careful attention to most of the important points which I'm going to make, because we're going to be tying together many disparate parts of the Gros Klolim, and we, Mitzvah, going to construct a synthetic union and a unity, and therefore a total Weltanschauung of the Gros philosophic and theological view upon the ontological truth of both these physical and spiritual worlds. Now, beginning once again in Klal Ches, says the Goin, line 233, Hasiluk v'hashvira. Right? We've spoken about in the Goin is a concept of Shvira, Shvira Sakelim, as opposed to the Arizal, where the Shvira Sakelim was somehow understood, at least in terms of a literal metaphor, namely that there was actually an explosion of vessels. According to the Goin, Shvira basically means that Kadosh Baruch Hu disengages himself from the world. So there's no imminent breakage, but rather there's a disengagement of the spiritual from the physical. We've gone to this point many times in the Shiur of the Goin. This is one of the major points where the Goin parts company from the Ari. So Hasiluk v'Hashvira, meaning that Hu Hasiluk v'Hashvira, which Shvira is defined by Siluk. Hu b'b'chinas Nekudim. Okay, comes the Goin now with a new concept called Nekudim. The Kudim now literally means dots, and we're going to see that the Goin is actually going to take this metaphor of dots to actually in a very literal manner. As a little bit of an introduction, I want to just mention that the whole spiritual process which the Ari describes, which forms the basis of the first part of the Eitz Chaim, is based upon the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, that Yaakov Avinu relates to Rachel and Leah, that he saw the tzoyin, he saw the sheep coming out of the waters, and the sheep was coming out akudim, dekudim, and vrudim. Akudim literally means something which is bound. That's the formation of the kli. We've spoken very, very much in depth about the shah akudim of the Arizal, and where the Goin, in fact, parts company from the Ari. That's akudim. That's the attempt, at least according to the Ari, to place the light in the vessels. And according to the Goin, the notion of akudim here was, of course, a different notion. And then we have what's called nikudim. Now, what's the nikudim? Now, for the Arizal, the oilim hanikudim was the oilim in which there was the shvira. That was called the nikudim. Now, you shouldn't think that the nikudim means little pieces of vessels which are broken. That's not what the nikudim means. And in fact, actually, there's no connection between the actual broken pieces and the nikudim. The relationship between the Kudim and the Shvir Sakelim, maybe we'll speak about another time when we actually look into the Arizal in much more detail. But in any case, in the Arizal, the Kudim, the Shvira, the breakage of the vessels, takes place in what's called the Oilim HaNekudim. The Goin is in fact actually basing himself upon this concept, but as we're going to see, he's going to understand the Kudim in a very, very unique way. Of course, I'm not going to present the Ariz concept of the Kudim, but at least not at this point. But in any case, the Oilim HaShvira, when the Goin says the Shvira is the Kudim, this is not something the Goyen is actually making up, but in fact, in the Arizal, the Shvira is in what's called the Olam HaNekudim. Now, what does it mean, Nekudim? What's the concept of Nekudim? Says the Goyen, Shehu Dugmas HaNekudim Mamish. So says the Goyen, when we think of Olam HaNekudim, we think about these Nekudim, we're supposed to actually literally think about a point. That's what he says, Dugmas HaNekudim Mamish, Dova Kloli, V'Iyem Shel Lutfois L'Dabba Ma'umah. Rakshim is para esa. A nakuda, a point, is a geometrically undefined object. For example, a line is one-dimensional. A plane is two-dimensional. A sphere is three-dimensional. In fact, the Poincaré conjecture was just proven about 2-3 years ago that there's only one type of three-dimensional sphere. However, what is a nakuda? A point is really what you would call zero-dimensional. For this reason, the Goyen says the nakuda is a dova kloli, meaning that what? It's a concept. Really, we cannot speak about points, because points are only things that we refer to. In other words, the point as being zero-dimensional is not an object which contains any type of a form or a structure that we can describe, but rather it's a reference, or we could count it. Says the Goyen, Rakshim is para esa. We could say that there are 10 points. What exactly is a point? The point remains geometrically something which is rather not clear and undefined. Now, says the Goyen, this Nekuda, right, these Nekudas, are v'hu shenish kol ha'osius. In other words, the fundamental, when he says the root, which I understand that he means by root here, the fundamental particles which constitute the letters of the Lashon HaKodesh, the osius, the Lashon HaKodesh, are composed from the Nekudas. And the Nekudas represent points from which we construct the geometrical, one-dimensional, two-dimensional, geometrically defined letters. The ain ois she'in ba nekuda. In other words, you cannot have an ois without a nekuda, because nekudas make up the oisius, make up the letters. Now, in addition to the oisius, which are the letters, says the Goyen, v'chein ein b'riya she'in ba nekuda. Also, there's no such thing as something in the physical world which doesn't have a point. Now, we're not necessarily referring to the atomic theory, or to the, you know, to any type of fundamental particles, and certainly not the string theory. But in any case, what the Goyen is saying is, just like the Oisius, Les the Torah, we can somehow break them conceptually into what's called fundamental constituents, fundamental particles, so too nature in general, if we look at something physical, we can somehow break it or understand in terms of more fundamental particles. So the Goyen says that, in fact, these Nekudas, this concept of Nekudas of taking an object and breaking it into fundamental, smaller units, is something we do both with Oisius, both with letters, and we also do it with the Bria, with the nature in general. She'ein ba Nekudas shu dov ha-nitpas ha-rishon, because the Nekuda represents the very first fundamental aspect of something, and we'll see when the Goyen says it's nitpas rishon, what does it mean? Because he said a few lines before this, it's eino nitpas. But we're going to see that actually the Nekudas represent the means by which we're able to construct models and intellectually analyze both letters of the Hebrew alphabet and eventually the Torah, and also parts of the natural world, the natural processes. Now, before we even begin, we have to understand that the Goyen here is actually referred to the fact that Nekudim actually constitute parts of two separate things. There are the Oisius, which are the letters of the Torah, and then there is the Bria, which means the creation in general. Which means that the Goyen is actually moving on a two-lane highway. In other words, we're speaking about the world, the natural world in general, the world, the natural world which we behold, which we explore, and also we're speaking about the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if we actually go back, we will go back, so for example, to Klal Beis, we remember that the Goyen, in fact, what the Goyen did was, the Goyen spoke about two parts of creation. When he spoke about that the world was created b'sefer, b'sapa, or b'sipor, the Goyen spoke about Maisa and Dibor. So, for example, if we go to, for example, Klal Beis in line 29, the Goyen spoke about that, of course, Baruch created the world, and there were two creations. There was, for example, the creation of Maisa, acts, and then there was the Dibor, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maisa represents the creation of the physical world, the world which we behold, right, as we saw in the Goyim, in a scientific manner. And also, too, there was the Dibor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Goyim went on to say, later on in Klal Beis, that in fact, at Har Sinai, Klaiso was revealed the truth of the physical world, which is the expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. This we saw in Klal Beis. And also, too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us the secrets of the Torah, also at Har Sinai. Right? And this is what the Goyim said. He said, for example, in Klal Beis, if we go, I'm just trying to keep these papers straight. He says on line 40, 40, that, right, in other words, Adayim Kasefa Chosu, creation is like a closed book. She'en Levina Behem Kavod Yisbach Etzayin Amiti. Rak Chachamim Mechukamim, Akoyim Behem, Sim Iyun Siklam Eitim Pol Hashem, Umayis Yadav, and Chachamim look at the world and see the acts of God. Ki'in Shekasu, like it says in the Pasuk, Su'u Mogam Einecha Be'ud Bibba Eile, lift up your eyes and see who created these. We've gone through this in previous Shi'ulim. And the Iko is the Ma'amad HaSinai, when in fact, actually, we saw Kol HaBruvim, we saw the entire creation. Asher Borom, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and this was made, the Kosh Baruch was the creator, says the Goyim. And the Goyim goes on simply and says, and also too, the Bechina of Dima was also revealed at Har Sinai. Hisheshamo Divrei Kotchoi, this is on line 49. Kuboshe Kosov, like it says, Pon Befonim Dima Hashem Imochem. So in other words, and this we explained was really ontology and ethics. In other words, there was the creation of the world, the physical world, and then there was the Dima of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the fact is that this Dima of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Goyim, in fact, actually spoke out much more in detail at the end of Klal Dalet, and he said at line 123, V'chein v'hatoyva, and similarly in the Torah, Be'eshin is galal l'meishe v'yisrael b'mamad ha'sinai, gila shem is boch boch hu kol ha'tera kula, b'chol p'rater d'kutter v'tameh, because boch revealed the entirety of the Torah to Meishe b'mamad ha'sinai, afilu mashin talmid v'osik otzad l'chadish, all future chidushim, the few generations would come up with. V'yachakak nistalik. And after that, what? Somehow, the truth of the Torah, all the seals of the Torah, disengaged themselves. V'lo nishtaya rak ha'oisis v'yatagim. Only the letters and tagim, which are things on the oisis, remained. Meaning is that when the Goyim here in Klal Ches speaks about the Bria and oisis, this is, in fact, commensurable and equivalent to what we spoke about, Maisa and Dibor. In other words, Bria represents the physical world, and the Oisis represents the Torah. As we saw, ontology and ethics, there's two truths. There's the scientific truth of the physical world, and there's the intellectual truth, the ethical truth of the Torah. And the Goyim says what the two things have in common here is that both are composed of what's called Nekudim, which means they're composed of these fundamental particles. Okay, now, goes on the Goyim and says that Chen Hashgachosu Yizborach Ritzoni HaKodem U'Sheresh Kol Hashgacha, and so because both Hashgacha and his Ratzon, which is the Sheresh, which is the root of his Hashgacha, V'Loinit Pasklal, this cannot be intellectually, this cannot be understood directly. Rak Shemispara Esa, only that the number is 10. V'Shu Klal V'Sheresh HaKol, this is the root of everything. V'Nistalik Min HaKelim. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu, in other words, the Sharoshim, or the Or, the light, was mistalit, disengaged itself from the Kalim, the spiritual from the physical, right? Just like the Nekudas disengaged himself from the Oisius, right? The Henchias HaOlamais, and this is what gives life to the world, come on, Nekudas Henchias HaOisius, like the Nekudas Henchias HaOisius, this is the life of the letters, the Ein Tenu HaOisius Ulas Nekudas. Now, what does it mean to say that the Kudas are the Chiyus, the light, the right, we speak about the Estalkus of Kosh Bokos Hashkocha, right? And from the Kalim, and the, right? What does this mean? Now, first of all, what we have to understand is that what are these Nekudas? He speaks about the act of Kosh Bochus Basalakas Ashkacha, which is similar to what we saw in previous Shi'ulim, that the act of creation, Kosh Bochus had one with the creation, then there was a disengagement of Kosh Bochus from the creation. Now, later on, in Klal Yud, that means later on, in Klal Yud, we haven't gotten there yet, and of course, we have a long way to go there. On line 363, the Goyim makes an incredible statement. The Goyim says on line 63, he speaks about the Adam Kadmon, which is the first Pautsuf, the first spiritual world. He speaks about Igulin V'yosha. We spoke about Igulin V'yosha in a few Shi'ulim before this. We'll continue Mi'at Hashem. Finally, Igulin said that Nefesh Udakuda Asher Nishtaya B'Pachines HaRishima. Very, very interesting. Or Misdalek Lamaila Liyois B'Pachines Sheresh HaNeshama Lisnoitzis B'Sham Tomet K'dei Shifai. Now, that's line 365. Once again, what does the Goyim say? The Goyim says like this. The Nekudim, are B'Pachines Rishima. They're B'Pachines Rishima. So what does this mean to say that the Nekudas are B'Chiz Rishima? We've seen before that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu disengages himself from the world, he leaves a Rishima, he leaves an impression. And this Rishima which he leaves, we've seen in the guy, is the manner, right, by which we, in fact, are able to understand or elucidate, understand intellectually the natural world and the Torah too. So, for example, if we go back to Klal Dalet, we go back to Klal Dalet, line 100. So he says, let's begin actually with 98, line 98 in Klal Dalet. Says the Goyim, V'yachokma sheboa by a boy is bog, beis abriya, the chokma which the Kadosh Baruch created the world. That was Begilui, it was, right, it was revealed at the act of creation. And the Chokhba, the wisdom of the Kadosh Baruch created the world, was revealed, was clear at the point of creation. Immediately after the Diba, the Chokhba disengaged itself. From the thing that was created. Because it's all no longer not connected with it. It was left an impression. If a person focuses on this impression, this Rishima, he can recover this Chachma. So now we're putting together the pieces of the puzzle. The Nekudas are the Rishimai, like the Goyim says later on in, like we showed you, in line 363. The Nekudas are the Rishimai. What happens is that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu disengages himself from the world, when Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma, the actual Chachma which Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world at the instantaneous point of creation, disengages itself from the physical world, or when the Chachmas HaTorah, which is revealed in Har Sinai, disengage itself from the Torah that the Goyim described at the end of Klal Dalet and we left the Isis. What's the Rishima? The Rishima are the Nekudim. The Nekudim represent the Rishima. Now, why is it important that the Nekudim represent the Rishima? Now we have to do some thinking. What does the Goyim mean that the Nekudim are the Rishima? Now once again, what is the Rishima for the Goyim? Both in nature and in the Torah, the Rishima is the structure, the rational, logical structure, which is left when God disengages himself from either nature or from the Torah. And this rational structure, which is left and is inherent in the physical world of the Torah, allows man to understand the Torah in a rational way. In other words, this is the intelligibility of the physical world and the Torah which is left after the act of disengagement. What the Goyim is saying is the following thing. The Nekudim is the rational structure, meaning the fundamental particles which man sees within both either the physical world or in the Torah, and this allows man to construct synthetic logical models which help him understand either the physical world or the Torah, just like in science. How does a scientist operate? Certainly after Galileo or Copernicus. What a scientist does is he looks at nature and tries to discover what are the fundamental logical constituents of any physical phenomenon. By understanding the logical, physical constituents of every phenomenon, man is able to understand the rational, the logical structure of that physical phenomenon, and thereby create models which lead him not only to better understand the macro phenomenon, but also to predict and understand the logical structure of the natural world. The same way in Torah. In Torah too, when we look at the Torah and we understand the fundamental halachic participles, the fundamental halachic logical structure, then this allows us to understand the specific cases, either of the Chumash of the Gemara, as specific cases, and build for these cases abstract, logical, synthetic, legal edifices, which allow us to intellectually define the halacha and to apply it in cases which we do not find necessarily either in the Shas or in the Chumash. What the Gaon is saying is that man's handle on the world or on the Torah comes from the fact that the Rishimai, which is left after the initial act of creation in the case of the world, or revelation in the case of the Torah, is composed of fundamental particles which make both nature and the Torah intelligible to man on a rational level. Man constructs synthetic, logical models based upon these particles. And this is, in fact, the way in which man recovers the initial chachma, with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and will first reveal the Torah at Har Sinai. This is the Shitas HaGoyin. What's interesting is that the Goyin says later on, right? We saw that the Goyin says that the Shaydash remains apart from the world. It's bistalik. But it's mitznait sense. The Goyim says it shines on us, illuminates us. The Goyim goes on and speaks about the Sheirish, which remains outside the world, which disengages itself from the world and from the Torah. And the Goyim says in Klal Yud, in line 357, the Goyim says, V'chein Sheirish HaTorah, says the Goyin, line 357, Ki hakol b'sheresh echad, everything is one sheresh. Hashgacha, that's the sheresh habriya, v'kiyumam tera v'yisrael. Uklal hashgacha nikwet tamin hakadosh baruch hu, shenichlal hashgacha b'shnei bechinas, shedei elu yizgalo b'zkadesh, v'zeh she'araisa k'chabrichu v'yisrael kol chadu. In other words, the sheresh, which disengaged itself, which leads the Rishima, which disengaged itself, that's the Sheirish, and the Sheirish is called the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and says the Goyin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Yisrael, V'Yaraisa, Chadu. That's a very common Lithuanian expression, Lithuanian credo, made famous by the Nefesh HaChaim. It actually first appears in the Ramchal. By the way, it's not a Zohar. It doesn't appear in a Zohar anywhere. It's a Lithuanian construction. And of the Ramchal was a Lithuanian, but he used it once. The Nefesh HaChaim used it many more times. Any great idea was borrowed anyway. And was stolen. And what is the Goyin saying? What the Goyin saying is the following thing. And the Goyin says, Yizgadu v'yizkadu shemoi zeo sharai zeo kushabruch Yisrael chal chadu. What does this mean? What does it mean that through this Sheirish, God, tell the Jewish people of what? And this is, glorifies the name of God. What does this mean? What does the Goyin mean by this? In order to understand this, let's go back to a little bit of what we've spoken about in the previous shiurim. First of all, we've spoken about in the very, very first shiurim, said that for the goyim, the purpose of creation was kavod malchusai, the glory of God's name, yizgadol v'yizgadol shemai. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that man should do the mitzvahs. When man does the mitzvahs, the man is either accordingly given schar, or, of course, if Chas v'Shalom he sins, he's punished. And this is called kavod malchusai. Kavod yizgadol v'yizgadol shemai. This is called kiddush Hashem. This is kavod malchusai. It's the purpose of creation. Now, in a previous year, we introduced the circular Moebius strip theory of the purpose of the world. This we spoke about in great detail in Klal Hay in lines 180 and 185. There we came up with the following concept. Says the Goyim, what is the Ratzon Hashem? The Ratzon Hashem is defined when man acts ethically. When man is right? But this man's actions define the Ratzon Hashem. Malchus becomes Keser. When man acts and does the mitzvahs, then in fact man defines the Ratzon Hashem. So we spoke about in Klal Hay 1A185 that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. And like man looks at the world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals the Torah, creates and reveals the Torah. Man, by studying the Torah, or by studying nature, comes to understand the Ratzon Hashem. Man does the mitzvahs, and by so doing, man defines in a belated manner, a posteriori, the Ratzon Hashem. In other words, what's the a priori Ratzon Hashem? The a priori Ratzon Hashem is the act of man. After man studies the Torah and the creation and acts accordingly, man defines the Ratzon Hashem. And that's what we spoke about, that creation is a circle. That as you go on the circle, you go back to the starting point. But in the starting point, man defines the purpose of creation. Man defines the purpose of creation. That's why we call it a Moebius strip. Because towards the very end of Malchus, it changes its orientation. Malchus becomes Keser. Kavod Malchus becomes the raison d'etre for creation itself. Man defines creation. The Torah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed is only understood when man learns that Torah. That was the critical concept, how Malchus comes into Keser. It's not that man discovers what God wants. Man defines what God wants. This concept is beautifully expressed in the Nefesh HaChayim, in Shal Dalet, based upon a Gemara in Gittin Vavu Mebeis, the two Amorayim, I think it's two Tanoyim, are sitting and learning a Pasuk, Bilegish Begiva, and one Tana gives one interpretation of the Pasuk, another Tana gives another interpretation of the Pasuk. One of the Tanoyim meets Eliyahu HaNavi. The Gemara tells us, relates to us, he asks Eliyahu HaNavi, what is the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing now? Says Eliyahu HaNavi, Kadosh Baruch Hu is learning Torah. So the Tana asked him, I think it's a Tana, Rabbi Yasser Rabbi Yenison. Rabbi Yasser. Thank you, Rabbi Sedley. That, what's the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing now? He asked Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi says, Kadosh Baruch Hu is learning Torah. What's he learning? Rabbi Yosef, my son, says like this. Rabbi Yosef, my son, says like that. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is repeating over the Torah of man. Man is not discovering the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man is creating the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, created the world. That's exactly the paradox and the constant belatedness which the Goyim is coming to communicate to us. That in fact, when man learns the Torah, he creates the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this gives the purpose, and the purpose for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So, in a kind of paradoxical, but conceptually, mathematically consistent conceptual framework of this circular Möbius strip, Kodesh Baruch Hu creates the world. The world is interpreted intellectually by man. Man then takes over and creates the raison d'etre for what was the creation in the first place. It's a constant belatedness of a prioriness, a posterioriness, posteriority. This is the concept by which Malchus comes to Kesser. What's happening here is the God, and that's the concept Yisrael v'Yaraisa Kuchabichu Chadu. Man becomes God. How does man becoming God? Through the Torah. They're both the same thing. Even though, in temporal sequence, one thinks of God, then the Torah, then man. The answer is, that's only the way we think. That's the Havamina. That's the first thought. But the fact is, in truth, they're one. Temporally, they're one. That's the Lithuanian Trinity. God, man, and the Torah. Therefore, this is what the going means in line 357. When man explores the intelligible universe or the Torah, I'm linking Torah and science together, but let's stick with the Torah, because Araisa could also be the world too. It's talking about Araisa Bora Alma. When man looks at the intelligible Torah, and how the Torah intelligible through the Nekudah, man creates synthetic concepts, synthetic models. These synthetic models, in fact, form the Ratzon, define the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he created the world. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Torah and creates the world, it's Taka B'Raisa Bar Alma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at a Torah that man created. Let's put the two things together. Man learns the Torah and God learns the Torah after man. But God looks at the Torah and creates the world. Put one and one together, you get three. Namely what? Namely, that man creates the Torah, man creates the constructs of the logical structure of the Torah. This is the Torah, this is the construct which HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks and creates the world and creates and reveals the Torah too. So man, by his active interpretation, presents the logical framework and basis for the logical structure and ontology of the physical and spiritual worlds. And this is the incredible yesod of the Gaon. What is Shvira? Shvira is not a breakage. But the Seid HaShvira is an underlying logical structure that the world and the Torah has an underlying logical structure. Man, through his mind, can understand this underlying logical structure. And by so doing, man is able to create an analytic, synthetic, logical model of both the Torah and the world, and this constitutes the logical structure and the logical model with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created the world and first revealed the Torah. And this is how man becomes one with the Torah, with God. So we see here in Klal Ches that the Gaon lays down the philosophical ontology which places man's intellectual understanding of the world of the Torah at the centerpiece of the cosmic event of creation and revelation. Now, it's very, very interesting is that this concept bears resemblance to passages we see in the Megillah Nevuchim. As I've emphasized several times, there's no question that the Gaon represents the Gilgul of the Rambam after the Arizal. The Rambam in Chelek Gimel, Perek Yud Ches, makes the following statement. He says, after he speaks about Hashkocha, providence on man, that in fact, the providence of man is actually a function of man's seichel, of man's intellect. The greater man's seichel, the greater providence he's subject to. Says the Rambam the following thing. Says the Rambam, I'm reading from the translation of Michal Schwartz in Hebrew. Achrishik damti, after the Rambam have discussed, already discussed, Shashkacham yukhelis lamina adun levada mikol minei bali achayim, that Ashkacha to man is, Ashkacha is only on man, at least Ashkacha on a specific person is only on man. In other words, Kashbok is mashkiach on a species, but Kashbok is not mashkiach on individual animals, but he is mashkiach on individual people. Oimani, says the Rambam, I say, Shiyadua, it's known. She'ain min nimtza b'chutz l'das. A category does not exist outside the bar. In other words, when we think about categories, species, these are functions of the intellect. In other words, species, says the Rambam, and other universal ideas. The translation of min and shah koilim is brought below by Karaj al-Dahan and al-Kiliat. Those are the Arab words for outside the modern universals. He min yonim shabedas. These are concepts in man's mind. Kifi shata yudaya, as you know. Outside the mind are details, are specific things. In other words, the world unto itself, the Kantian world unto itself, is irreducible and ultimately unintelligible. Man is the being who orders creation and categorizes it in terms of species and universals. That's how in Bereshis we're told that man was given the job of giving names to all of the animals, meaning that man creates the concept of species. Man creates the concept of universals. How does man do this? How does man create the concept of universals? The Goyin is revealing to us that the concept of the universals comes from the fact that man perceives the rishimai of nekudim within nature itself. In other words, man is able to create a concept of species because by perceiving the constituents, the logical structure of things in the world, man is able to equate or to make equivalent the logical structures of two phenomena, to animals, and by that create a concept of species of universals. So in other words, man, through his mind, is what brings into the world the notion of universals. Now, says the Rambam, man's mind is what connects with God. In other words, according to the Rambam, we spoke about in previous shiurim, the Rambam says explicitly in Chapter 68 and 69 of the first chelik of the Meir Nevuchim, that man thinks like God thinks. Man's thinking is equivalent to God's thinking. The difference being is that God is always consciously thinking, man is sometimes and sometimes not thinking. But God's essence is his thought. In a certain sense, there is an analogy between man's thinking and God's thinking. We spoke about this. This is not a rejection or a contradiction to technical theology. But it merely is an expression of the fact that when man is created by Tzelem Elokim, with the image of God, that refers to man's intellect. Man thinks like God thinks. When man perceives the logical structure and able to create universals, was able to create species, scientific concepts which are expressible in logical form, and not merely the referring to irreducible objects in the world, man's mind unites with God. Somehow when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was no distinction between the universal and the specific. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu disengaged himself this was the act of Silek and Shvira, then we have this dichotomy between idea and object, between universal and particular. The purpose of man is to use his intellect to bring the particular back into the idea, to redefine the first initial act of creation, where universal and idea and object were the same. And that's what the God has been insisting, because Bohol created the world in one and only one way. When we've gotten the universal down, pat, there's only one way the world can be created. This is a very deep concept which I want to go into. We'll discuss it in Mitzvah Hashem when we speak about the anthropological physical and physics in further lectures. But what the God is doing is he's building upon the sheet of the Meruchim, the Rambam, but it's bringing it to, in a certain sense, a much more powerful conclusion. Because what the Goyim is saying is that learning Torah and discovering the world scientifically is not only an intellectual act, it constitutes an ethical act. Because it's the ultimate way in which man becomes God. Man imitates God. Imitatio Dei. When man learns Torah, and when man looks at the world, what he's doing is, he's acting in the ultimate way in which God acted when he created the world. And then man is producing, man is performing the penultimate ethical act. If God defines the good, his Ratzon HaTov is the going set. And the Rambam, at the end of Menuchim, speaks about that ethics is ultimately imitating God's acts of creation. That when man comes to define what creation is, to intellectually determine the act of creation, man is acting ultimately in an ethical way. Because the most ethical act is to act in the way that God acts. So, ethics for the guy is through Limud HaTorah. Through Limud HaTorah and through discovering the world. I don't want to encourage college, Chas V'Shalom. Through Limud HaTorah and discovering the scientific truth of the world, man recreates the act of creation, and by doing that becomes one with God, not only ontologically but ethically. In which case, that is the fusion of ontology and ethics. And that's what the Goyim says, Li'asid Lavoi, in the future, when the world will be different, says the Goyim. He said this, the first few Shi'urim. Then in fact, we can understand the Tamei HaMitzvahs. Because the Tamei HaMitzvahs mean that ought and is are one and the same. And this comes through a process which is defined by man's intellectual understanding of the Torah and of the physical world. That's what the Goyim is saying. We have over here the fundamental message of the Goyim and of the Lithuanian philosophy, that true ethics is the intellectual integrity through which man pursues his understanding of the Torah. Man, by learning Torah, creates, not discovers, but creates the truth of the world, and therefore defines himself at the same time ontologically and ethically. That is the message of the Goyim. This, in fact, this Nakuda, this point, was a dividing point, a point of machlokes, a dispute in history. There's a famous dispute between the Chazon Ish and the Alter about the nature of what's called the Gia, ulterior motive. The Alter, in his work Or HaTzofen, actually it wasn't the Alter's work, but it was Shi'urim of the Alter, which I think were written down by one of the Talmidim. I forget which of the Talmidim the Alter wrote them down. The Shi'urim, which constitute the Alter's Sefer Or HaTzofen, by the way, it's Or HaTzofen, the hidden light, not Or HaTzofen, not the northern light. Or HaTzofen, the hidden light. There in Parshas Toldos, the Alter speaks about the concept of Nagiya, of an ulterior motive. Says the Alta that the Torah is an expression of man's psychological build, his psychological makeup. And we see from the prohibition of Sheichat that every person always acts based upon Nagiyas, motives, ulterior motives, which come because the person always has a vested interest in something. The Alta says, he brings even a medrash, that Yitzchak loved Esav, kitzayid befiv. The medrash says, Esav ensnared Yitzchak with his flattery, and therefore Yitzchak, in a certain sense, had a vested interest in giving Esav the blow. Because now, of course, Chas v'Shalom, the Alta says, you can't speak about the others in that way. Nonetheless, this concept of a vested interest, which determines a person's thinking, is the yesod of the Shitas Hamusa. You don't believe me? Look at Rav Dessler. And Rav Dessler is a famous Maima Hamusa. I think it's called the Yesod Hamusa. There, Rav Dessler says the same thing the Alta says. It's interesting, he doesn't even give Alta credit for it. Maybe it was only Piyah Shmua. He didn't see it in this, maybe before the Sefer or Rav Sofer was published. I'm down Rav Dessler Kav Schuz, of course. But nonetheless, the concept of Musa is the Shitas HaMusa. Now, Musa doesn't mean having good midas. If Chaim Soloveitchik was anti-Musa, he also had good midas. But the Shitas HaMusa is that man is can never free himself of intellectual clarity and intellectual truth, intellectual integrity, without stripping himself of his motives, which can only be achieved by what? You guessed it, Libra Musa. Without Musa, you have Nikias. Da mala hashiv lapi koyres, says Rav Dessler. The reason you have your shitas like that is because you have Nikias. You have your job, your family, your profession, your position in society. That's why you think the way you think. If you learn Musa, you would look at things a lot differently. Says the Chazon Ish in Amunah Bitachon that this shita is a destruction of all of Emunas Chacham, of the entire Torah. Because if we say that a person's intellectual understanding is driven by motivations and by vested interests, then there's no intellectual integrity to anything which a Talmud Chacham says. You've swept, you've basically remove the carpet from under the feet of the entire intellectual edifice of the Torah. Says the Chazalis, Chas v'shalom. Man proceeds intellectually and is not encumbered by vested interests. The purpose of a Chacham is to seek the truth, and the truth is sought without regard to ulterior motives. Ah, it says in the Torah, that one should not take Sheikha, because Sheikha will blind people. Says the Chazon Ish, you're learning the Pasuk wrong. The Torah is not an expression of man's psychology. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah to create the world and saw that it said that when a person takes Sheikha, that he'll be blind intellectually, what it means to say is that since it says in the Torah that man will be blinded, that's why man will be blinded. Existence before essence. The Torah's prohibition is what blinds the person. It's not man's psychology which blinds him. Meaning that when the Torah is the a priori determinant of the way we ethically look at the world. Ethically, says the Chazon Ish, the Torah doesn't recognize a man as a negia. Says the Chazon Ish, a man can paskin, can make a ruling on his own treifa, even though it may be worth a lot of money to him. So the fact is that the machloikas between the dispute between the Chazon Ish and the Alter Defaldik is, does Torah precede reality or does Torah come after reality? The very fact is that the Chazon Ish is taking the position of the Nefesh HaChayim, the Torah precedes reality. Man, by looking at the Torah, right? But you know what? When we look at the Torah, this shows man how to look at reality. Therefore, when man interprets the Torah, Mai Shaycha, Shenasecha, what men interprets the Torah, men in fact is creating the very ethic which determines, which imposes itself and creates the norm and criterion by which man has to act. So man is a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in creating the world. Man takes upon himself divine qualities. Yisrael be'eraitzkot shubrichadu. And by doing so, man is the ultimate creator. Therefore, man's acts, through understanding the Torah and applying it to the world, define ethics. Man and God in the Torah become one. Ontology and ethics become one. Man, by interpreting the Torah, defines the very ethics, the divine ethics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the important fundamental message of the Goyim in these opening lines of Klal Ches. In Mirat Hashem, we will continue on this very important point in the next few lines. There's much to speak about. We have a lot of material to cover. But with these fundamental ideas and assumptions, we're now going to, not only have we put together a lot of different aspects of the Goyim's Klalim, but in Mirat Hashem we're going to actually see incredible unity and beauty and a tapestry of thought in the Goyim, which is going to constitute a hashkafa, which will ultimately be the hashkafa for the intelligent, discerning individual in the modern world. Be well, we will continue Mirat Hashem.